Wait for it, wait for it. Welcome to the BerlinBrigade.com podcast with your host, David Geller.
Hey everyone, Dave Guerra here, BerlinBrigade.com podcast. I welcome you back for another exciting episode. And guess what? This episode is episode 20. What does that mean? Well, it means 19 under the belt. After this one, it'll be 20. This podcast series is not old enough yet to legally drink in the United States, but it is old enough to vote, serve its country, and be all it can be, but it still can't drink. Anyway, that's beside the point. How's everybody doing? I hope everybody is doing well. It looks like spring is well underway here in the United States and across the world. A lot of things have been happening since the last time we talked. A lot of great stuff's going on. And, of course, you know, as always, there's good stuff and there's some sad news to pass along. But, hey, we'll get through it. We'll get through it together because as former Berlin Brigade members, that's what we do.
It's time for the special announcements.
Special announcements? Well, we've got several, everybody. And let's start off with the registry. Our registry count is sitting somewhere just above 3,580. Keep up the good work. As always, keep sending them in. What else? Yes, notification for removals. The process is really easy. If you need to get your information removed off the database, not a problem. Just send me an email through the registration. Just write to go through the registry, fill in the information in the comment sections, remove my information, or just remove my email address, or just remove everything. That's really the quickest, fastest way to do it, and we usually do those a little faster than we do the ads. And the ads have really, you know, the turnaround time has really picked up, so that's a good thing. Speaking of ads, we now have a new process to notify members of the BerlinBrigade.com community of the new ads to the registry, and there's two things. We have the new ads or the new additions page on the website. When you go to the registry, up at the very top, you can actually see where it says, you know, click here to see the newest registry entries, and it gives you a comprehensive list. Now, that list is for 30 days. So anybody that was, let's say, what's today, the 17th of April, that's when we're recording this. I'm sorry, the 18th of April. So March 18th and or March 17th and beyond are not going to show up there. So we're going to try to keep that at 30 days. And we might miss it here and there, but for the most part, that's kind of where we're at. The second is some of you have already received it, and it's an email notification. And basically, it reads something like this. Please pardon the interruption. This email is part of a new service that I am starting with BerlinBrigade.com. When I started BerlinBrigade.com back in 97, the intent was to find old Berlin buddies. Over the past 13 years, a lot of great connections have been made. I know that. I hear about that all the time. So in keeping with this, and this I embellish, but here we go. In keeping with the original intent and spirit of BerlinBrigade.com and knowing that when people submit their information to the BerlinBrigade.com unit registry, it is to make contact with old friends, find long-lost buddies, and, of course, make new friends. Thus, the new BerlinBrigade.com registry notification service was started. Now, as of April 15th, you will be notified by email if any new registry entry is made that meets the following criteria. 1. A new addition to the database. Someone from the same unit you were in while you were assigned to the Berlin Brigade either arrived or departed while you were there based on your registry information. Somebody meets that criteria, you're going to get that email. Okay, so, and then the message finishes up. Therefore, I am pleased to let you know that there's been a new addition, and here's where I'll put like your unit assignment, you know, 6th Battalion, 502nd, 287th MP, Field Station, unit registry, period. And then to see the new additions, please visit your unit registry page, which can be found at http://www.berlinbrigade.com/pages/registry.html. And it concludes, as always, you have the option not to receive future emails from the service. All you have to do is reply to this email stating, I do not wish to be notified. It's that simple. It's pretty cool. We had a little problems at the very beginning, but I think we solved it, and one person ended up getting like 5 of the same messages. Again, my apologies. I sent them an email. I told them what was going on. What was happening is it wasn't notifying me that the message actually got sent. So I was just kind of like, well, hit send again. And finally, I had to go in there forced to look up, and sure enough, there it was several times. But we got that under control, so thank you. And like I said, great way to let you know, hey, maybe somebody you forgot all about just all of a sudden signed up, and here's how you find out. Now, speaking on that, I've notified several people, and in doing that, I've received bad email addresses. So, folks, stay up to date with your email addresses. Several of the people that have emails have come back have been individuals that have either ETS'd or PCS'd and are no longer at that .mil address. Okay, so if you've got that, again, my recommendation is go like to Hotmail, Yahoo, Gmail. They're all free and they go with you no matter wherever you are in the world. You'll always have access to that. And that's a little safer and a little more, just safer that way. So that's a good thing. Please consider doing that. Now, if you have, say, a private email address, say from your business, and either your business is shut down or you no longer work for them, you might want to consider revising your email address. And how you do that? Resubmit the registry form. There we go. I get ahead of myself. Resubmit the registry form. And in there, in the comment section, just put in change of email address. That's it. It's that simple. Put in the new one under email address and just say change of email address in the comment section. That's pretty much it. Let's see. Next. Some of you have experienced another opportunity with Berlin Brigade, another cool thing that we got going on. That is the Catch a Cinch Cast. What I've done is I posted them on the Twitter page, and the CinchCast announcements are quick updates that I will use from time to time to pass out some registry update information or any other important information, BerlinBrigade.com news that cannot wait until the next podcast. The last one had, we were looking for somebody that was in Berlin in the early 50s, and they were just trying to get some information. And if you're not too sure what it is, check it out. Just go back to Twitter. You can always go back to our Twitter page and go into the archives, and you'll see the links. Just play them. Click on them, play them. There's nothing to install. It'll play right off your PC. No big deal. It does not install anything. You don't need a special player. You don't need a password. It's all free. Check it out. It's pretty cool stuff. Let's see. Oh, yes. Some of you have noticed an ad for the GI Film Festival. You may have seen the ad on the BerlinBrigade.com homepage. It's pretty cool. First year I hear about it, but apparently it's been around for quite a while. And this is, according to the website, this is the first film festival in the nation exclusively to celebrate the successes and sacrifices of the American military through the medium of film. The four-day festival will be held on May 11th through the 16th in Washington, D.C. So, folks, if you're out there, go check it out. Great bunch of movies, great bunch of celebrities are heading out there, heading over there. They're going to be there that entire week. It's just going to be one long weekend. Get on the metro and head on over to, I want to say it's the Carnegie Institution. Yes, the Carnegie Institution for Science and a couple of other places throughout Washington, D.C. Let's see. Oh, in the email inbox corner came the following message, and literally it just came today. Hello, I'd like to suggest an addition to the page http://berlinbrigade.com/pages/podcast. That would be our podcast archives page. It would be useful to know the approximate runtime of each podcast. I know that this would help me plan for what broadcast I will listen to when. Thanks for the hard work that goes into your site. This was sent in by a former radio operator in Charlie36. Well, former RTO, let me tell you what. Here's your answer. Starting with this podcast and all future podcasts, it will include the runtime on the archive podcast archive page. As for the past archives, I will add the runtimes over the next couple of weeks, so they're not all going to appear all at the same time. But hey, thanks again for your email. Again, if anybody out there has a comment, concern, question, or suggestion, please do not hesitate to send it to me, davidg@berlinbrigade.com. That's davidg@berlinbrigade.com. Same thing. I want to pass along. I know there was a mini reunion this past weekend, and I know there are plenty of others on tap. A lot of them coming up. A lot of them are going to happen real soon, later on, late in the summer. And 2011 looks like it's just going to be a potpourri of a potpourri of reunions. And so that's pretty cool. So again, if you've got them, you want to talk about them, you want to spread the word, drop me a note, davidg@berlinbrigade.com again. Let me know. We'll get you on, do a quick little one. A couple of minute talk about what's going on, like we did with Tom Hartney and the BUSMBA reunion coming up in Berlin here in August. So we'll get you on here. We'll talk about your reunion, and let's make some magic. But now, on a more sad note, on behalf of everyone that ever served in the Berlin Brigade, I want to pass along to the family and friends of Kenneth D. Lozo of Corning, New York, our condolences. I just got word that at 79 years, Kenneth passed away this past Thursday, April 13th, at his home surrounded by his loving family. Kenneth enlisted in the U.S. Army in 1950 and was stationed with the Berlin Brigade in Germany as a communications sergeant. There he met and married Ursula Sumnick in September of 1953. Unfortunately, Ursula passed away back in 1998. However, they are now together forever, and that is a good thing. To the family of Kenneth Lozo, we want to thank him for his service to his family, to his community, to the citizens of Berlin, to his fellow soldiers, and above all, to his nation. Thank you very much, and our deepest condolences.
Take your seats, because it's time for a special guest interview!
Today's guest is none other than the writer, director, producer, and attendee to this year's GI Film Festival, Donna Musel, where her film Bratz, Our Journey Home will be screened on Saturday, May 15 at 6 p.m. Eastern Time at the Carnegie Institution for Science, 1530 P Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C. So if you find yourself interested and are in the Washington, D.C. area, head on over to check out this great documentary. You know, won't go too much into it. I will let Donna tell you all about it. Well, Donna, thank you for joining us today. It's really an honor to have you join us here. You're our first writer-director. We've had some authors, but you're our first writer-director here on the BerlinBrigade.com podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, David. I appreciate it.
We'll tell you what. You know, let's just dive right into it. Let's get going, and then we'll see where it takes us. Tell us about the movie, Bratz, Our Journey Home.
Well, Bratz is the first documentary about growing up military. We talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the beautiful. It was a seven-year project. Started in the beginning, I was really just trying to understand who I was, you know, where I was from. I'm a military brat myself, Army brat. I moved, I think 12 times in 16 years. On three different continents, went to three different high schools. And I think like a lot of brats, once you left that environment, felt a little bit different from the other Americans around me. But for a long time, I had no idea why. And then somewhere around my late 30s, I rediscovered all my friends from Daegu, Korea, where my father was stationed when I was a teenager. And for the first time, when I got together with these kids again, we were in our 30s, I felt like I belonged somewhere. And that really started the whole process of studying military brats, finding out what people had thought about it, and what really led me to make the film.
Oh, wow. Wow. Three different high schools. I think you kind of emulate my... I think you emulate everybody's... Every brat's high school years, because that's exactly the number of high schools that I went to also. Yeah, and it was just kind of, what do you do? You know, you can't really... Well, it's different, I guess. It is. It's hard to say, because, we... you know what? We're not talking about me. We're talking about the movie. But we'll get into it a little bit more later on. Look, I'm looking at the website, and you say the movie's been out for how long now?
We released the film initially in 2006, but it's kind of like that little engine that keeps on going. It just keeps going and going, and people still want to see it, and they're just discovering it. Armed Forces Network Television shows it like every April for the month of the military child. It's kind of like, remember when you were young and used to wait for the Wizard of Oz to come on every year? So now they're showing Bratz every year. It's been a wonderful, wonderful experience for me, both professionally and just personally. Throughout showing the film, I have come back in contact with almost everyone from my childhood, which is very rare for military kids. I loved it. I've been able to see some old teachers, old friends. I don't think that people understand how important that is for someone to understand where they belong and where they're from. Making this film helped me to understand that, you know, where I'm from is actually kind of this nebulous thing. I'm really from a group of people, a shared experience, as writer Mary Edward Wirtz called it, as opposed to being from a place, if that makes sense.
Yes, and I think that's kind of where I was going with what I was going to say before I stopped myself and got off on a tangent. But yeah, it is. It's, you know, you build these friendships, you build these bonds, and they got to be quick because you don't know when dad PCSs or when, you know, nowadays it's mom or dad will PCS or ETS or whatever. And same thing on the other side of the friendship, and they're getting ready to move. They're going to move. So you build these friendships fast, furious. And with a little luck, they last a lifetime. And that's pretty cool that you've been able to reconnect that one, or that many people, too.
Yeah, it has been wonderful. And I also think that it's taught me how important it is for military children to keep in touch with people they grew up with. I'm not saying that you don't move on with your life, but if you don't know where you're from, how do you know where you're going, type of thing? It is important, and I think it's important for military families to encourage their children to keep in touch, to talk to people, to go visit them, to really know where they're from. It's very different to travel so much and to move around so much as a child when you're forming your personality than it is to do that as an adult. And I'm not sure that a lot of military parents truly understand that.
And I see that because I look at my kids now and I see them and I see myself at their age or, you know, a little bit older than them. And it's like, you know, I can count their friends on two hands. But at their age, when I was their age, I didn't have enough hands and feet to count my friends. And you get that unique... that unique ability that you have to technically become an extrovert right away, as opposed to now. But then again, now technology changes everything. Now everybody is friending everybody. Everybody can Twitter everybody. In a matter of seconds, I can let all my friends halfway around the world and back again know that I'm going to have pizza for dinner. And it's just that simple.
And that is true. It's much easier today for people, particularly military children or any children that are in families that move around a lot, to stay in touch via the internet or a phone, or, you know, it doesn't cost so much to call people anymore. So that's wonderful. However, it's still an issue when you grow up in a particular environment around a group of people that all have a shared experience with you. And then you leave that environment and you go into, say you go to college, and you don't know to befriend or to look out for other kids who might have shared your experiences as well. And so in that college, you're feeling like you're different. You don't know what to talk about with people. I find that a lot of military kids say that they kind of hide some of their experiences because they don't want to feel different from the people around them. What they don't know, and what I didn't know when I went to college, is seek out those people that had similar experiences. Go to the foreign kids clubs, you know, start a brats club in your college or your school, so you at least have people around you that have shared the life that you have shared and don't look at you as strange or different. Or not that different is a bad thing, but when you're a teenager, you don't want to be different. So that's something that you have to pay a lot of attention to as a parent as well.
Without a doubt, so very true. And yeah, it's a different path. And like I said, I can see them, and I can see my brothers and I, and you can just tell where things are, where they are different. And yes, you brought that up, and it does. I was remembering this time we were on the duty train heading from Berlin to Vielflecken, and I got to bring Berlin back into this. And we were talking about the snow outside, and this guy standing next to me, he was in my unit, everything. And he goes, yeah, the last time when I was 16 or something, last time I saw this much snow was here in Germany. And I go, really? And I go, well, where were you at in Germany? And I knew where it was going. And he goes, we were in Worms. And it's like, no way. I had a friend from when my dad was based at Fort Rucker. This kid, him and I were in the same high school together. And he always talked about being out there in Worms there in Germany. And I go, you know, there was a guy I knew. And he goes, well, what's his name? And I told him. And he goes, no way. This is so. And then it's like we connected through a friend that was, you know, not even there. So, again, you see that. It's there. And, yeah, you seek him out and you find him in the strangest places. In this case, he was standing right next to me the whole time.
I think people would be amazed to find out that a lot of the people that are around them actually did live that life. I mean, there are an estimated 15 million military brats in America alone. That's not even counting foreign students, foreign service families and kids from missionary families and kids from corporate families that move around a lot. You're actually going to have a lot in common with those kids as well. And the problem is you can't look at somebody and tell if you're a military kid or you're a corporate kid. You have to start talking with them and listening to what they're saying. I found this is really funny, even in my own life. I remember there was a part of my life when I was living in Fort Benning in Columbus, Georgia, which is right outside Fort Benning, and I had a group of girlfriends that we used to hang around a lot, and then I went to college and went off, and, you know, 20 years later, we're sitting around talking after I made this film, and it turned out that, like, you know, three or four of the women that I was friends with were all military brats, too. And we had never brought it up when we were younger. I had no idea. It was the funniest thing. And that's one of the goals of Operation Military Brat, which is our new awareness program, that we're trying to raise the awareness of the fact that there are challenges facing military kids of all ages, or military brats, what we call ourselves. And that's what we're trying to do, to acknowledge and celebrate our existence and sacrifices. Military kids make a lot of sacrifices, but they're rarely acknowledged. And there are some challenges that we have to face, and that things that can be changed, but we have to talk about them before we can change them.
Wow, great stuff. And they're everywhere, and that's an astounding number, 15 million. I guess I never stopped to think about it, but yeah, definitely I'm going to run into somebody again just in the same situation, and I know it's going to happen soon. Tell you what, let's go back to the movie a little bit. I'm looking here at the website. That's www.bratsourjourneyhome. It's all one long word, .com. And again, it's www.bratsourjourneyhome.com. And a really cool website. I like that photo up front with the family in front of the fighter pilot there. That's pretty cool. The Dan LaValle family?
Yeah, that was a wonderful picture, isn't it? It was actually taken by the Air Force as a public relations picture. That was his family, the Dan LaValle family, but it wasn't a real quote-unquote photograph. I thought it was funny because, I mean, if you're a military brat, when did you ever really go out, you know, on the tarmac with your dad and wave as he flew away? We were lucky to get all that footage. The interesting thing was almost all the footage in the film was donated by brats around the world. In fact, the film was made because brats donated $5 or $10 or offered their services for free or for very reduced rates. A wonderful guy out in California, Jeff Thurman, had managed to help us get tons of footage that we would have never been able to get otherwise or afford. Chris Christopherson donated his narration. General Schwarzkopf didn't charge us for his interview. Chris Christopherson also donated the use of like 8 of his songs in the film. We would have never been able to afford that. So it was just making the film was a wonderful experience, as well as going out on the road and showing it.
Wow. Yeah, I saw that. Chris Christopherson and the General Schwarzkopf. How did he find you, or how did you find him, or how did you all get connected? I'm talking with Chris Christopherson.
Well, I knew from the very beginning of making this film that I wanted Chris Christopherson to narrate the film. I didn't know him from Adam's House Cat, but that was who I wanted. And so towards the end of the film, as we were, you know, finishing all the shooting, I wrote his agent and asked, and he agreed to do it. So it was kind of Providence stepping in, I guess. He was very wonderful, both he and his family. His daughter was a brat as well. You know, Chris was a brat. He raised brats, and he was also a soldier. So I figure he had seen that life from all three points of view.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, naturally, why not? Yeah. And he's a fellow Texan, so big, big props to him there from one Texan to another, and good deal. Wow. And had I seen this a little sooner, trust me, I would have done whatever I could to get in there. But you know what? I just can't find any film. There is, like, no incriminating film of my brothers and I anywhere we went. So that's a good thing, I think.
Oh, you mean the pictures and the videos?
Yeah. We can't find that. I don't know.
I know. It's really awful sometimes in these military families. You know, you move so much, things just kind of get lost along the way. It's very hard, and I don't know about your family, but there's so many military families that are just scattered all over the country. You know, one sibling's in one state and one's across the other state, and nobody knows where any of the family stuff is, and then somebody dies and it gets thrown out. I mean, it's very difficult to keep track of all that stuff when you're moving so much.
True, but you know, usually the only photographs that manage to survive are those that just have you in the most ridiculous poses doing the most stupidest thing, just like, you know,
those good pictures.
Those are the only ones that survive, and I don't know where mine are.
Oh, I know. I love those pictures, though. Those are the fun. Those are the ones that you laugh at.
Yeah. But you know what? Those are the ones that you can say, well, you know what? This is when we were here. This is when we were there. Remember when we went there? And that's a good thing, too.
Absolutely. You know, and there are a lot of things that are just wonderful about growing up as a military kid, or I guess any kid, really, that travels around the world. If I had one wish, I could say, okay, this I think I wish everybody could do, it would be to spend a year of their life as a teenager in a foreign country. I think if every single teenager in every country had to go somewhere else just for a year, I think it would truly change the world.
Most certainly. I know in my time, the experiences that we had, it ran the gamut from the most awesome things you could ever see to some of the worst horrific things you could ever see. And it's that experience that definitely shapes who you become as an adult. And without a doubt, I am glad and I am happy that my parents took us along for the ride. Well, my dad was in the military, but, you know, mom could have said, you know what, I'm staying home with the kids and that's it. But I'm so glad that we all went along for the ride. And it really does, it makes us who we are. And that's a good thing.
Oh, absolutely. And I didn't know that until I read, I remember the first time that, well, after I had gotten together with my friends from Taegu High School in Washington, D.C., which really first opened my eyes to the fact that we all belonged to this, something was going on, you know, that we were all the same, we were all different races, we had all different kinds of jobs, but we all spoke the same and we had the same feelings and ideas and experiences, and it was very odd. And then I ended up reading Mary Edward Wirch's book. It's called, I don't know if you're familiar with it, Military Brats, Legacies of Childhood Inside the Fortress. And it was written almost 20 years ago. But that's what opened my eyes as well to the fact that we do belong to this unique, wonderful, global culture of people. And I didn't know that. I always felt like I was just trying to fit in with whatever group was around me until I started getting back together with some of my brat friends. Then I realized, oh, this is my group. These are the people that I feel comfortable with. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought.
That's okay. You know what? Let's. I understand what you're saying, and yes, I agree. Yeah, when you find them and you reconnect with them, it's like as if time just disappeared a little bit there. You don't have that big gap between the last time you saw them and today. You pick up right where you left off.
That is the odd thing. When you get back together with some of your friends that you grew up with as teenagers and children, It's like all those 20, 15, 10 years in between never existed. And you just start right back where you left off. The funny part is sometimes you start acting like teenagers again. You regress a little bit. That can be good and bad. But I think what's really important, too, is to learn from what we, the older brats, have gone through. So we can pass along some of what we've learned to the younger brats, so maybe they don't have to go through some of the harder things that we did. I've noticed that there's a lot of attention being paid now to deployments and how deployments are affecting children. And I think that's absolutely important to do that. However, I do believe that what they're not seeing is that these issues happen all the time. It's not just deployment. Deployment just exacerbates things. So I hope that they will keep focusing on the children and look for ways you can make the life of a military child better, and not just think that, you know, because being a brat doesn't end when you give your ID card up. But being a brat also doesn't begin when you're deployed. It begins when you're born into a military family and all that entails, both the good and the challenges.
So very true. You had to give up your ID card? No, just kidding. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes. You know, my brother, that's a different story, but yes, you do have to give it up. Hey, listen, let's take it back again to the website and stuff. Actually more about the movie, not necessarily the website. That's what I'm looking at here in my background. The video, it's on DVD. It can be purchased. There's two versions out there.
Well, actually, there's one version of the documentary. It's called Brats Our Journey Home that you've talked about. And you can also get to the website by just going to www.bratsfilm.com. It's easier to remember. But you can purchase a copy of the video on the website, and that is the 90-minute documentary. We also put together what we call the first segment of Brats Raw, which is the unedited version of Chris Christopherson's interview and General Schwarzkopf's interview. And so that it's a completely separate thing. We also hope to be putting out some more Bratz Raw tapes that go into more detail about certain issues, because, you know, in 90 minutes you can only talk about so many things. And so a lot of the topics really needed to be gone into more detail.
Okay, so, all right, so it's all the same, but it's kind of different. And so the Raw is the one we want to get, or we just want to get the regular one, or... Which is the one you recommend for anybody just off the shelf, first time they're hearing about this? What do you recommend?
I would recommend that you buy Brats Our Journey Home, the documentary, first. And then if you're interested in learning more or just listening to some great interviews with two iconic Americans, then I suggest you buy the Brats Raw.
Gotcha. So there you go, everybody. Pick it up there at the bratsfilm.com or bratsourjourneyhome.com. It'll all take you to the same place. And you can pick up a copy of the video or the movie there on DVD. You know, I was also looking here at the website, and it's pretty cool. I see at the bottom of the homepage, like, five different awards. You want to talk about those awards, or are you just a little too shy about those?
I'm not shy at all, but we did win some awards when we were out there at the different film festivals. I have to say, though, that taking the film out on the road directly to Military Brats itself was the highlight of our tour. What we ended up doing was just going to different cities on our own that we thought had large populations of military brats. And, in fact, that's what we're doing now also with Operation Military Brat, is trying to hold free screenings across the country when we can, and then to hold town hall meetings afterwards to give people a chance to talk about their own experiences, to connect with other military brats, and to let also the civilians in the country know that we are here and that we do exist and that the more we understand each other, civilians and military families, I think the better off we'll all be.
Oh, yes, especially, you know, in the current situation being what it is. And even then, you know, even after these wars are over and we're still going to have a military, that's never going to go away. And we're still going to have children that are born to military personnel, and that's never going to go away. So, yeah, without a doubt, I can see where this is really going to help as far as getting that word out and getting a little better understanding between the civilian side and the military side.
Absolutely. I mean, we just recently showed the film in Texas, actually. It was in Wichita Falls, Texas. And I remember a young teenage military brat stood up and after the film, and she was talking about how she felt. And she made it pretty clear that, you know, one of the things she felt in her school was that just nobody really understood. A few of the kids there were military, and they talked about their dads being away or their moms being away at war, but a lot of the other kids in the school, they just didn't understand, and they were uncomfortable. They didn't know how to talk about it, and talking about it made everybody feel a little better. So they felt like, okay, you understand what I'm going through. I'm looking at you a little bit differently now because I empathize with what, I understand some of the things better than I never did before. So it was a wonderful thing. I think they're actually forming a Bratz Club at that school. And even if there's only 10 or 15 or 20 kids, I think it's important that we show those 10 or 15 or 20 kids that we do care and that we are willing to look at things that sometimes are uncomfortable to look at.
Wow, very interesting. Yeah, and that's it. That's really what gets the ball rolling, gets the whole thing going. It's just some catalyst, just something that fires off, and off they go. And that's, wow, pretty cool. So, okay, so you're talking, and we were talking a little bit before the interview, and it's like, you know what, we really need to start the interview because what we were talking about was really awesome, and it's like, I don't want to lose that. So kind of bringing it back, and you were talking, you had gone to Wichita Falls, you've been on the road. Where is Operation Military Brat going now? Where's it going to next, and how do we, well, obviously going to the website, we'll find out how. But in the meantime, why don't you tell us what you got going on?
We're going to Shreveport, Louisiana in January. We're going to have a screening of the Bratz film both on and off base, and then have town hall meetings after both of those screenings. So we're really looking forward to that. We've been invited to come to Mannheim and Kaiserslautern, and I think we're going to be going to Vicenza as well in Italy and showing the film over there, speaking with educators and counselors and parents and the military brats themselves. What we really find is that the Bratz film starts some amazing dialogue between people. It's a wonderful thing to watch people just stand up and just talk about themselves for the very first time and realize that they're not the only ones that feel certain things or experience certain things. And they, just like me, I mean, I think too, when I made this film, it was like, gosh, I'm not crazy. I'm different, but I'm different like all the other military brats that grew up like me. And so I'm much more comfortable in my own skin now. And I think that's what you see happen after people watch the film and they start discussing things. And what we hope, one of the things we hope will come out of these screenings is that it will start dialogue. You will look at some of these issues. Maybe it will lead to some change. If nothing else, it'll help a group of people understand that they're just normal like all the other people that grew up like they did. We're also encouraging people to, if you buy a copy of the film, you know, show it in your house. Invite some people over. Have a house party. Show the film. Talk afterwards. It's really interesting to show it to your whole family all together. At Christmas, have people around and watch it. We think that's a great thing to do.
Well, it's a great idea. Awesome idea. And I'm sitting here making notes and like, yeah, invite, so, you know, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. So I'm just going off on that one, on that tangent there. Let's see, what else was I looking at? Okay, well, I see that you have some names here, but things are not set up or 100% done. You kind of have a tentative or a very loosely tentative agenda of where you'd like to go and set up some screenings. Honolulu, Houston, San Antonio, El Paso, New Orleans. Hey, who does not want to go to New Orleans? Gulfport, Biloxi, Mississippi, Birmingham, Alabama, Memphis, Nashville, Tampa, the MacDill Air Force and CENTCOM area there, Charleston, South Carolina, Charlotte, Raleigh-Durham, Albuquerque, Riverside, Camarillo, Oxnard, Ventura, San Diego County in California. All great locations and definitely heavy, heavy military presence in just about all the locations. I really don't see where there wouldn't be one. And retiree area as well, so you know they'd know where they could find their kids or they find their brats, those retirees. And I know down here in my neck of the woods, it's a very, very big retiree winter Texan area, and so I know I've run into several ex Berlin Brigade soldiers here, and I know there's other military retirees out there. So definitely, is there any word for those people that they find themselves in these cities that I just mentioned and y'all want to head up to and set up a screening? Is there anything that somebody out there could be doing to kind of help the cause?
Yes. The thing is we can't come to all these different places unless we get some help. Basically, if you're in an area and you want to sponsor a showing of the Bratz film, let us know. We need to have, you know, some kind of free place to show the film. And some way to get some press so people know that you're there. We'd be happy to, even if we can't make it personally, if you want to set up a screening, please call us and let us know. The list of places that you read are just some of the places that we'd like to go. Every time we put out a list of where we want to go, people write and they say, well, why aren't you coming to our town? Why aren't you coming to our town? And it's like, well, what we're trying to do is get to towns that we've never been to before. Before we go back and start hitting towns that we have been to. So I know we have, we did show the film in San Antonio a year or two ago, but a lot of people never know that we're showing it because we're such a small nonprofit, we can't afford paid advertising. So that's really been our biggest challenge, is we know that people want the film, they like the film, they have a great time when they see it, and especially at the Q&A and town hall meetings afterwards. But we have to find a way to get the word out. So if anybody else has ideas, we're open to those as well. That's why we're trying to encourage people to have house parties as well and to show it in their house, so it's not just a one-time thing.
Right. Is there an email address they could get a hold of you at, or somebody representing the organization?
You can go to our website and go to the Contact Us page, and you can write info@bratzfilm.com, and it will come right to us, and we will get back with you.
Excellent. So you got that, everybody? info@bratzfilm.com, or go to the website and go to the contact section. And drop them a note. So again, if you're in those cities, or you know what, if you're in a city, I'm going to just go ahead and just jump on this one. If you're in a city that I didn't mention or it's not listed on that website and you can get it together, I don't know. I'll buy somebody lunch. How's that? There in that city if they end up going that's not on that list. How's that?
I just want to let you know another thing that we are planning for later this year is what we're calling the Military Brat March on Washington. We have decided that we need to get our voices heard. I think that the military kids need to have their voices heard. And the country's talking a lot about soldiers and their spouses, and that's wonderful. But I still think that the children's voices are being drowned out a bit. And so what we're going to do is plan something for next fall, and we'll keep you updated if you just keep checking back with the website.
Oh, see, I think I just shot myself in the foot with that one, because Washington, D.C. is not mentioned on the list, and if I'm buying lunch, I'm in trouble. You know what? I'll edit this out. How's that?
We've been to Washington, D.C. a couple times.
Oh, okay. And right, so then
we were just in Arlington, Virginia, and had a fantastic screening there.
Oh, okay, then I'm safe then.
One-off thing, so, you know, we want to... A lot of people don't know about it, and so, you know, sometimes it takes a word of mouth to get people to come. Well, we're also trying to come up with some kind of way to rent the film online, but it's so much more fun to watch it with a group of people. That's why we encourage that as well.
Wow. So, yeah, there you go. So, again, if you're out there, you're interested, get something going on, drop an email, start the conversation, and let's see where it goes from there. I'll tell you one thing. I'm interested in trying to work something out, and we'll discuss that after this interview, and we'll kind of go from there. Let's see. Pretty much, I think we've just about covered everything. Okay, well, what's next film-wise for you? Let's talk about you. What's next film-wise for you?
Well, I'm working on a couple different things. I'm actually writing a fiction film about growing up a military brat over in Korea, which is where I was living when I was a kid. And so I'm working on that, working on another documentary as well about something that has nothing to do with military brats. It's called Mean People, and it's about why people are so darn mean.
Obviously, you do not want to interview my brothers and I, as we are the cause of mean people.
I know everybody was like, well, don't interview me. Basically, whether people are born mean or are you made mean or why do people do mean things, I think we've all been there. And it is quite fascinating, some of the things they're finding out now with the new genetics testing, some of the ways they're being able to scan people's brains. It's a pretty fascinating topic, actually.
Where in the process is that one? Is it going to be ready soon? Are you in production, pre-production, post-production? Where are you in the whole process of that documentary?
We're in pre-production right now. We hope to go into production next year.
And we're back. Sorry about that. This technology, one thing and another, and it just shuts itself off. But we got the connection reestablished. It's been quite a while since we had that problem, but just to let us know that who's really in charge, and that would be the computers. They are in charge. Run for the hills. Donna, I want to apologize for that interruption. You were saying you're in pre-production, and we're looking at the things moving kind of fast after that?
I'm sorry. We're in pre-production on the documentary about mean people. And also working on a fiction film about growing up military. And the third project that we're working on right now is what I was interested in to begin with military kids, which was looking at military children as really kind of a living study in race relations. You know, after President Truman integrated the military in 1948, military kids have been going to school with each other, living in the same neighborhoods, dating, traveling around the world, 20 years before the Civil Rights Movement. And I really would like to look into how that has affected military brats who were raised in that environment, what we can learn from it. I think that's very important today in a world that's becoming smaller and smaller, and people that look different on the outside really need to learn how to get along. And I think we can learn something from the military child experience.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I saw that stat on your website, and I got to thinking, you know, she is absolutely right. We were living with each other, next to each other, next door to each other for so long, and as it really sunk in, it's like, you know what? We were really ahead of well, the mainstream America, I guess, for the lack of it, or civilian America. We were really there. I mean, you know, I was born in the late 60s. The childhood that I remember was the 70s, 80s. And even things were still progressive. But then again, depending on where you were, things were not as progressive as in other places. So, like I said earlier, we've seen the gamut of good and bad. But for the most part, you know, we all hung out together, we all played together, we all had a good time, but we also fought together. And they always, you know, considered us outsiders, the civilians, when we went to civilian school. And when we went to base school, well, then that was kind of different too, because we were all just there and there was really no hassle. But very interesting.
And there were always, some people had a different experience, but for the most part, I think you know, the race relations aspect of growing up a military brat, as opposed to being in the military, that's a totally separate thing. But the children of the military, I think that was one of the best things about growing up military. I loved the fact that I had friends of all kinds, and so did they. You know, I felt very, I really did feel like an outsider when I ended up having to go to a civilian high school in Georgia my senior year. And, you know, the black kids all were on one side of the hall, and the white kids were all on the other side of the hall. And there were no other kind of kids. I was used to growing up with all different kinds of children. It was a very odd and uncomfortable year racially for me that I wasn't really sure how to deal with. And I think a lot of military kids feel that way even now. I talk to a lot of the young kids, and they really don't like leaving the environment, and they're not really sure who they are. I mean, there's some difficult things, too, about particularly, it's not just for brats of color. I think white brats feel the same thing when they leave that environment and people start, you know, as a race, as opposed to... it's just an individual, they're not quite sure how to deal with it. Because in the military, you're not really looked at as a race for the most part.
No, and that's very, very true. I don't know if you got a chance to see the, what was that movie not too long ago? The Eyes of, what was that movie? It was a Spike Lee movie, if I remember correctly. The African-American unit there in Italy. The Eyes of Santa Maria. I want to say that's what it was called. I will forget the name of the movie until after, you know, I'll remember when we hang up. Anyway, there was a scene. These African-American soldiers were in Italy, and they get to this town, and they're all looking, the citizens are looking at them like, well, who are these guys? And the guys just say, we're Americans. Right. And then the citizens, oh, okay, Americans. Because they didn't know, we weren't too sure who was invading their country at that moment, you know, who was coming to rescue them or who was coming to take them or whatever. And there's a scene later on in the movie where one of the soldiers tells the other guy that he doesn't want to leave that town. Here they accept us for who, that we're just Americans. They don't see the color of our skin. They just see us as Americans. And I noticed that in Europe, we were the Americans. That's all we were.
Absolutely. And I think... You know, that's really what happened to the kids as well, particularly the kids that lived overseas. They were looked at as American. It didn't matter what color you were. And then when they went home, it was more, well, you know, if you're a Hispanic kid, well, why don't you speak Spanish? Well, maybe nobody taught you Spanish, you know. But people presumed... I guess that's what people do. People always presume that their experience is what other people's experiences were. And that's just, it's not to say that one way is any better than another way, but that's not necessarily who you are. It's interesting. And maybe that's, you know, that's what draws people together. You'll find that if there's some kind of higher purpose or... So when you go to Europe, you know, you're not a black American, you're just an American. But when you go back to America, you're African American.
Right. The movie was Miracle at Santa Ana. That's the name of the movie. And it's really, really cool movie. So if you get a chance or you haven't seen it's awesome. But you'll see what I'm talking about at that moment. It's just kind of a revelation to these guys. It's like, hey, wait a minute. They're, you know... They know who we are, and they know where we stand and what we're here for. It's not like back at home. Well, they know we're soldiers, but we're not soldiers. And the same thing, you know, as dependents, like I said, we saw that too, you know. Wherever we moved around, it just depended where we were at. It was just kind of, well, you know, they're not, you know, they're just not. They're different, and we saw that. But once we're on base, we're all the same.
Right. And you know, and I think that's one of the things that a lot of brats, when you leave that environment, if you don't join the military yourself, that's what you really miss. I miss that. And I think, I wish somebody had told me when I was younger, you know, you will miss that, and you might want to consider moving somewhere that is very eclectic. You know, go somewhere that they might, I know there's a lot of, in Washington State, there's lots of different kinds of people. And, you know, there are a lot of military families there that get out of the military and retire. And you might want to look at moving there. Nobody really told me that when I was a kid. So I think I actually feel like I wasted a lot of time in places that probably weren't where I was the happiest or where I would have been happier. You know, maybe going to a college where there were lots of different kinds of people, because that's where I fit in. When nobody's the same, that's where I feel the most comfortable.
Yeah, I understand. I hear you, and I agree. Yeah, I don't know how I found myself back here. I did. I mean, I'm not knocking down here. It's a different world. It's also home. So, you know, I guess we fight both sides of it, you know, going home or being further away. But again, it was just one of those things that the decisions we make, and if, you know, it's better for us, then it's better for us. But again, I do too wish that I had had somebody said, you know what, Dave, you might want to think about moving over here. You might want to think about this. And it's not for anything else other than you'll just be comfortable. You know, you'll be able to get, nobody will stare at you when you eat French fries or mayonnaise on top of your French fries. Nobody will stare at you. Or nobody will stare at you and kind of look at you funny because you like to eat kimchi. You know, I mean, I love kimchi.
Oh, no.
and the people that I know down here look at me like I'm insane.
Oh, I know. That's one thing I couldn't, even the whole time I lived in Korea, I just could not get past the smell of kimchi. But people, man, they love it.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that are interesting is that most, and this is what Mary Wirt said in her book, most military parents are from rooted environments. They actually aren't from military families, although there are a lot of military people who come from a long line of military families, but the majority actually do come from more rooted environments. And so, in a lot of ways, they have absolutely nothing in common with their own children. And they tend to forget that. And so, and the children aren't really sure where they fit either, because nobody sits them down and tells them, you know, you're a little bit different from your parents, and that's okay. The way you think, the way you feel is probably a little bit different. And I find a lot of military kids, you know, they retire, or they end up where their parents landed last. Just by rote, you know, if your parents retired in a certain place, you end up staying in that place, and yet you really don't have that much in common with that place. I think that's kind of funny. I did the same thing. My mother ended up in Columbus, Georgia, and I ended up going to college in Georgia, and later I thought, well, why did I do that? And I was, well, I don't know. I just, that's where we were. And yet probably, you know, there were other places where I might have had more fun.
Yeah, true, true. And yeah, not knocking
Columbus.
You
should take that out. I don't want to say that Georgia's a bad place.
Oh, no, no. And that's the thing, because that's where I ETS'd out of also. And I was there for about a year and a half. And I love that little place. I love that town. And it's my understanding I wouldn't recognize that town today if I went back there. I mean, it's just change is change, and that's a good thing. But yeah, no, Columbus was unique, to say the least.
Yes. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I'm not kidding, because it is a very good time. I mean, that's where, well, Fort Benning's where I got my basic training. So, you know, that area is always, you know, going to be a part of my life. And then I closed out my military time there. So that's going to be a part of my life, too. So not knocking it. It was just a different time.
No, it was fun. Columbus, I mean, that's where I graduated from high school, and my mother still lives there, you know, it's a smaller town, and it's an odd kind of juxtaposition, I think, because a lot of military kids grew up in this small town environment, the base environment, but a lot of time the bases were in the middle of these huge cities, And so you kind of have this small town atmosphere in the middle of a big city, and it's odd because you're drawn to the big cities as an adult, and yet you kind of yearn for that small town atmosphere, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does, and definitely. I understand because it's where I'm at. It is a small town, and that's kind of interesting now that you add that aspect of where we end up at to the mix of everything else that I've done. It does. I mean, trust me, I love Berlin. It was a huge city. It's even bigger now, twice the population now than there was back when I was there. And I love it. That will never, ever change. When I was there a couple of weeks back, I love the convenience of everything just being right there, walking distance. You got the subway. And it's always something open. You want something to drink, something to eat. If something's there, you want to go buy something, well, you got to wait. You got to, you know, deal with that a little bit. But for the most part, if you needed anything, there was something just within walking distance. Here, it's kind of like, well, by 11 o'clock, everything's already shut down. Yeah, so, but yeah. Then again, that kind of keeps me at home, keeps me out of trouble. So that's a good thing, too.
I know. I live out in the boonies right now in Georgia, but I just love going to the big city because I feel like I actually fit in better there.
Okay, so kind of getting back into everything here, and really good, not saying that what we were talking about was off or anything, you know, it's very important stuff, very good stuff. So you got these projects going on, but yet you're still devoting time. I also saw that there is a Brats Without Border organization. Is that like the parent organization of the that brought the film in, or what is that? Is that an offshoot?
Yeah, actually, Brats Without Borders is an official, formal, educational, nonprofit organization that I formed in 1999 to raise the awareness of the challenges facing military brats and other what we call third culture kids, children that were raised in more than one culture, more than one country, and to find ways to improve their lives, the quality of their lives. And Brats, Our Journey Home, was produced by Brats Without Borders, the nonprofit. So in the meantime, we are also conducting different research projects because there aren't that many people that are doing that out there. They talk to military brats when they're younger, occasionally, but no one actually talks to the older brats to learn from their experiences to help the younger brats, and that's what we would like to do.
Wow. Well, I tell you one thing, between the both of us here today, we have a lot to talk about. And that is...
Thanks. I know. I think there is a lot to talk about, and not that many people are talking about it.
This is like a big double plus. We kind of have our own little town hall meeting here going on. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Donna, there's a standard question here at the BerlinBrigade.com podcast that we ask everybody. So if you've heard the podcast, you know the question. Where were you when the Berlin Wall came down?
I was in Atlanta, Georgia, when the Berlin Wall came down. I was just ending work as a lawyer for the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, and I was starting my career as a writer.
Wow, interesting transitional time for very many people there, and you too. So you're a lawyer by trade, by profession, by...
Yes, I went to University of Georgia Law School, and I practiced law, passed the bar and practiced law for about 3 or 4 years, and worked as a labor lawyer. And as much as I enjoyed it, I think I knew from the time I was 8 years old that I wanted to be a writer. And so a few years after I started practicing law, I decided, okay, what I really want to do is write. And I said I didn't want to be 60, 70, 80 years old and wondering what if. So I went ahead and just quit and started writing.
Wow. Oh, pretty cool. Yeah, that's one of the things that I want to do. But for some reason... I like talking more than I like writing. Don't ask me why.
No, talking is great. I actually feel like I'm doing more talking these days than writing, so I'm having to make the time to sit down and write. But I love what I do now. And actually making documentary films, I think, combines perfectly all the things that I love to do. It uses your brain, your visual senses and also just learning all the time. I loved to continue to learn about new things.
Oh yeah, it keeps everything going, keeps everything fresh, and keeps those brain waves and brain synapses firing, and that's a good thing. It keeps us healthy, keeps us younger too. So that's a good thing. Yeah, I definitely need to pick up a pen more often. Got to do that. But yeah, I like what you're doing there with the documentary, and that's a great idea. Whatever inspired you to really just transition over into actually doing the Bratz film, that's big kudos to whoever said something or just said, hey, why don't you make a film about that, or did something, or just the idea that was out there, big kudos to that individual or you for doing it, for actually carrying off and doing it.
Thank you so much. I, you know, it was one of the things that I started and just kept going until it was finished. And I think as a military brat, you know how difficult that can sometimes be. I'm good at starting things, not always so great at finishing them. But
now I know where I got that from. Okay.
but I did. I just kept going. It was very important to me. And I'm not even sure how it all started or why I just grabbed onto it and never let go. But I'm glad I did it.
Well, good deal. Then at this point, I think we're going to start wrapping things up. And just want to give you an opportunity here. If we missed something, we forgot something, if you've got, the floor is yours. So you want to make sure we include some information. The floor is yours right now.
One of the things I would encourage people to do, and I hope they will, is to go to our website at bratzfilm.com and share your experiences with us. Go to our future projects page and ask for one of the questionnaires that we put out and write your story. Tell us what's going on. If you have ideas how to make life better for military brass of the future, let us know what those ideas are. What did you learn? What did you like? What did you not like? We can't change things unless we talk about them and know what there is to change. Perhaps things don't need to be changed. One of the things that I find interesting today is they're closing all the Dodge schools, but according to some of the research that we've conducted, some, the Dodge schools are one of the best things about growing up military. So we just need to hear your point of view, put your two cents in, go to the website and let us know how you feel.
Wow. I did not know that about the schools. And yeah, without a doubt, I remember the one that my brothers and I did go to, and by far I still remember it, and it was an elementary, and so obviously for as much moving as we did and everything, for that one school at that young age to still stick out, something was right. Listen, Donna, I think we're going to go ahead and just start wrapping this up, and this, everybody, again, this is Donna Musil. Donna, everybody, this is one interview that was a long time in the making. Both Donna and I can attest to that. Missed phone calls, missed emails, not checking emails too late, a minute too late sometimes. From one brat to another, Donna, big, big thanks. Everybody, that was Donna Musil, writer, director, and a little bit of everything else of the film Bratz, Our Journey Home. And you can check out bratzourjourneyhome.com or bratzfilm.com. Order yourself a copy. Check it out. If you can attend any of the town hall meetings that the Operation Military Bratz has got going on in the very near future, please go. Donna, thank you very much for spending this afternoon with us talking. And if you got any updates or anything, consider yourself the open invitation. Jump on. We'll set this up real quick. We'll get you on. And as things change for Bratz or the Bratz Without Borders organization, and especially that March on Washington, which I am very interested in, just let me know and we'll get you on board. And that way you can get the word out.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, David, for having me. I'm glad we finally got to talk.
Oh, no, I'm glad we got to talk. It's really been great.
Again, I want to thank Donna Musil, writer, director of Bratz, Our Journey Home, for spending some awesome time with us and giving us some great insight as to what it is to be a brat and what it is to be an American brat. And that's a good thing. And Donna, thank you. It's a wonderful film. Again, if you haven't had a chance to check it out and you're interested in getting your own copy, you can visit the Bratz website at www.bratzourjourneyhome, all one word, .com. Again, that's bratzourjourneyhome.com. And or you know what? You can also find the link on our Sound and Vision page. It'll be there as well. Go to the website. They have a schedule. I mean, not just how you can pick up your own copy, but there's a schedule of listings of upcoming screenings. So be sure to check it out. Again, like I said, they're going to be screening this over at the GI Film Festival on Saturday, May 15th at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So head on over that way if you find yourself in the D.C. area on that day. Listen, if you've not had a chance to check it out, the Sound and Vision page is strictly for you to get more information on how to acquire books, videos, and any other media that we talk about here on the BerlinBrigade.com podcast. So it'll be there. And as we start getting more authors and people start writing more books or creating documentaries, films, whatever, and we start adding them on, we're going to keep putting them on there. And of course, you know, we're going to go back into our history and I'm going to move over some of the other books that we've talked about in the past and bring them on over too. So don't worry. If you have not been interviewed, but your book already shows up on the links page, it'll show up over here as well. Let's see. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Speaking of books, last month I received a package from France. Yep, France. And in it was a book, and it was a cool book by Eric Sensi. There you go. I'm so sorry, Eric. Pardonnez-moi. It is a children's book written in French, though. And Eric and I had a brief, and hopefully we both got our message across, conversation on email. So you know, because he doesn't write in English, and I really don't write in French, but I tried, and I think we both got our point across. So thank you very much there, Eric. And it was all about the book. And right now, like I said, the book is in French. He didn't answer, but I'm more sure I'll hear back from him real soon on whether he has plans to write this in English and in German. But the book is called Papillon du Berlin, The Butterfly of Berlin. That's the title. And it is a story about a young boy who comes to Berlin because his father is a soldier with the French army and has been assigned to Berlin. Okay, so there you go. That's unique perspective there. Like I said, the unique story is very unique and has a perspective that many Americans and Germans can identify with because there is a political message per se, and it talks about when the wall was up. So that's about as far as the message goes, but it's really a neat story. If you get a chance, check it out. It's very much a French point of view story, and but it is about Berlin and stuff that happened there many, many years ago now as we get further and further along. But he takes us on a very quick and interesting little journey. So, Eric, thank you very much for sending that book. Listen, everybody, the coincidence that this book by Eric and the film by Donna, both dealing with children of military personnel, is not well, it is a coincidence. It's or is it? No, it really is a coincidence. It all just fell in line. Eric's book was supposed to be mentioned in last month's podcast, but things just got a little out of control, and we didn't finish our correspondence, so I didn't want to proceed without any adding more to it or leaving something out that Eric didn't want me to put on there. So, again, you've seen the image, and I'll have the image. Well, listen, if you're interested in acquiring a copy of this book, the image, the book cover, and the information on how to acquire it will be on the Sound and Vision page as well. It is time to wrap up the 20th episode of the BerlinBrigade.com podcast. Remember, you can always send me comments, concerns, questions, show ideas to davidg@berlinbrigade.com. Or you can stay up to date with the latest at BerlinBrigade.com by following us on Twitter at www.twitter.com/BerlinBrigade, all one word. Or join the BerlinBrigade.com MySpace page, and you can find that link on our homepage here at BerlinBrigade.com. Or you can do what over 680 of our fellow Berlin Brigade members and supporters have done, and join the BerlinBrigade.com fan page on Facebook by following the link also on the BerlinBrigade.com homepage. Listen, we invite you to come and join all the great conversations we have going on, a bunch of great stuff. It's a great conversation. And like I said, we have over 680 members, and if you've been looking for a reason to join Facebook, now's the time to sign up and join our conversation. Listen, until next time, I'm your host, Dave Guerra, and this has been the 20th episode of the BerlinBrigade.com podcast. I thank you for listening. Stay safe. Goodbye.
Sergeant Major, dismiss the brigade! The BerlinBrigade.com podcast is a Dave Gehrer production. Thank you.